Do you know what time it is? It's time to get back into the zone. Welcome back to the Fury Electric Studios with Justin Acri.
You had this crazy idea about breeding pine trees.
Broadcasting live and streaming worldwide at 1037thebuzz.com.
Perfect comeback considering we do have a doctor in the studio.
Very good.
And he's way less eccentric than Doc Brown was from Back to the Future. Dr. Fitzhill joining us in the studio. Welcome back. Dr. Hill, how are you? Good to see you.
Thanks, Jess. I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me.
It's great to have you in. You know, and we when you had the book release, we tried to get you in, and I was talking to the person that was doing the publicity on it, and we couldn't quite get it together.
Right.
So, and then it kind of got lost in the shuffle, and everybody's been busy since then. But it's good to get you in finally. Now we have not only a book, but a documentary to talk about.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we've been trying to stay busy and continue blessing people and empowering our community. And this is a challenge, but it's something I look forward to doing every day.
Well, I want to talk to you about a lot of different things, but let's start with the latest thing first, with the documentary and some positive attention for Arkansas Baptist College. For those of you who don't know, that's where Dr. Hill is now making a real difference, and you've been there. This is your what year?
I just completed 7 years.
Is that right?
Yeah. February 1st of 2013 was 7 years.
I feel like I'm getting old.
You're
now.
Old.
That went quick.
Let's
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it has.
That's
it
crazy.
Has,
so
yeah.
Tell me about the documentary. For those who haven't heard about it, it's been featured. You've had some opportunity to see it. Growing Hope, The Resurrection of Arkansas Baptist College. An Emmy Award at the Mid-American Emmy Gala in Kansas City. So, yeah, tell me about this and how this came about.
Well, you know, when I was recruiting coordinator for the Razorbacks, I worked very close with Jim Borton. Jim used to make all of our highlights videos.
Yeah.
And I remember one that really stood out. I remember Wally had spoke about it one time in the paper. Gary Brashears, when we were recruiting Gary, Jim had helped me put together a highlight video. It's probably against the rules now, but Gary actually released the ball and Anthony Lucas caught it. And so, you know, that was kind of like the punchline for
yeah.
Gary Brashears. But Jim and I created, we had a very great relationship when I was at Arkansas. And so I was trying to put together a little 3 or 4 minute infomercial about Arkansas Baptist College. So I called Jim from Fayetteville and asked Jim to come down, Jim Borton. And so Jim came down and started shooting our campus, and things were going on and looking at the transformation of our community and what we were doing. He said, Fitz, you got a story here. I said, really? You know, he said, yeah. He said, I need to go back and talk to Larry Foley at University of Arkansas. He said, man, I want to bring him down here. He said, you know, we've done a few documentaries. He said, but this is powerful. And so I said, well, sure, you know, but it was never in my mind that it would be a documentary. Of course, winning an Emmy was something I never had any inclination about whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So Jim, Larry came down and started evaluating the situation and said, hey, man, we got something special here. They put the story together, told the story for the last 5 years, and invited me to St. Louis for the awards. But I said, no, I had some other stuff to do. I think I was actually my son, Justice. I think we had a basketball, I had a football game that weekend.
Yeah.
So I couldn't go. So you know what was important.
Yeah, I understand
yeah.
that.
You know, Coach Hill. And Larry texted me that night and said, we won the Emmy, our special
wow.
programming. And it was just a tribute to their work. And, you know, I'm a man of faith, and it's really the Holy Spirit speaking on what we're doing in trying to bless other people. And so God bless the video for being a blessing to others.
So, yeah, talk to me about where we are today versus when you came in. And I'm sure there were some people probably scratching their heads about, you know, you going over there. And, I mean, that was it. Look, everybody understood, I think, that was a great challenge going in there for you. But you're a guy who's never shied away from challenges.
Not at all. And in fact, my 4 years at San Jose State, the challenges I experienced in the Silicon Valley really, really prepared me that. Being a man of faith, I said, you know, my 4 years at San Jose State was like Moses' 40 years in the desert. It was a very barren land. But it taught me so much. And, you know, I'm making checks at the line every day as a mm-hmm. college president. And so there's a lot of similarities to it. You know, when I got there, we had 150 students. We're about to close, had no resources, dilapidated buildings. It was just, you know, the community, crime infested area. And but that's where God wanted me to go. I didn't apply for the job. Actually, you know, I work on literacy programs. We started the Delta Classic for Literacies, those type of events that we've been able to start. Literacy programs in the Delta. I think we've started 11 literacy centers as a result of the Delta Classic for Literacy. So while I was out promoting that, Somebody asked me, Justin, had I been by Arkansas Baptist College? But I said, no, but I've been by Grambling, University of Arkansas Pine Bluff, and Philander Smith. They say, well, you should go by Arkansas Baptist College. They say, they don't have a president, but you should talk to two of their board members. So I met two of the board members at the Courtyard Marriott in West Little Rock. I'll never forget it, was December 2005. So I started spreading the vision of what this game was about, to be a blessing and to help people who can't read, because there is a direct correlation between illiteracy and crime. Mm-hmm. I say, if you decrease the illiteracy rate, you will automatically decrease the crime rate. So that's a solution to a problem. So they stopped me and say, will you be the president of Arkansas Baptist College? I say, me? A former football coach? Mm-hmm. A president? I said, I've never been a dean. I've never been anything. But God had ordered my steps. And so, and 6 weeks later, I was a president of Arkansas Baptist College. And
wow.
So fast forward 7 years later, we've probably invested soon to be over $50 million in community redevelopment. We received $22 million from New Market Tax Credits out of federal money out of Washington, D.C. Our enrollment has been as high as nearly 1,200 students from the 150 that we had when I started. And it's just a new spirit, a new environment on our campus and in our community. And that's the greatest thing about me. That's the greatest thing about that I love is mm-hmm. that we've been able to bless people who oftentimes people looked over or didn't look to bless. And I say all the time that when you bless others, you don't have to look for your blessings. They will find you. And we've been blessed because we've blessed other people. And that's the greatest thing about being at Arkansas Baptist College.
Dr. Fitzhill joining us in the studio. Christina LeCure along with me, Justin Acre, here in the Fury Electric studio. Appreciate you tuning in. What's the enrollment situation over there now as far as what? How many kids do you guys have right now?
This fall, we had right at 1096.
Okay. You have a goal in mind? I mean, is there a place you want to be?
Yeah. We will max out our 2020 vision. We will max out at 2,000 students.
Okay.
We can't grow any bigger than that unless we're just going to buy all the way down. But
all
the way down to 630. But, you know, our goal next 2 years to be up to 1,500. And I'm going to be around for a few more years. And then hopefully I can hand it over to the next person better than it was than when the person handed it over to me.
Well, that's always the goal for, we talk about that with coaches all the time. In the same way for, I guess, college presidents, you want to leave it in better shape than you got it.
Absolutely.
Where can folks see the documentary? I know it aired on Channel 7 over the weekend, and I saw that T.J. Holmes' voice. I didn't get a chance to see it, but T.J. is an old friend from when he was at Channel 11 here in town, then moved on to some bigger and better things. He was actually in the San Jose area for a while, yourself. So.
Right. Yes. We're going to be Matt Jordan will be scheduling it for AETN next.
So okay.
It'll be a statewide public on AETN, so we'll be giving you that information.
We'll be selling copies at some point?
Yes, at some point. We will be, and hopefully as a documentary, we'll have it online. In fact, there's a teaser out there on YouTube right now. If you want to go get a little glimpse of it on YouTube, you can check it out. It's a little teaser.
Very cool.
We want to talk about a lot of different things, including the book, too. And, again, people have sort of followed the Michael Dyer story closely.
Sure.
I know Michael's had a huge step in the right direction by spending time with you and the folks at Arkansas Baptist College. Can you update
Absolutely.
Us on how he's doing?
Michael, I met with his uncle yesterday, and let you know, Michael made the honor roll last semester.
All right, well, that's good to hear.
That's great.
Yeah, and he's on track to graduate this summer, and he will be eligible to play Division I football upon completing his degree at Arkansas Baptist College. So he will have a chance. He will be a prospect in Division I football. I've had several coaches call, and so we're not putting any pressure on Michael in any way. He's done what he's supposed to do to this point. So we're taking a little bit at a time. You know, Coach Kynes used to tell me in Arkansas, inch by inch, life is a cinch, yard by yard, life is hard. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to give it to Michael in cinches. And so hopefully that he will be able to continue making that progress. But so far, so good. He's this fall, he was involved in a mentoring program for at-risk youth under the leadership of my dean of men at Arkansas Baptist College. And he's worked out. So we're just taking it 1 month. Month at a time. So he, his academic progress has been phenomenal. And so with that, no news is good news. And so we'll continue to move forward, and we're proud of his progress.
I have to say, I'm a little surprised that college football is his path or his intended path at this point, not professional football.
Well, actually, that's what I thought. And when I sit down and talk to talked to Michael. He wants to play college football, and I admire that about him because I've been told personally through my contacts with the NFL that if he had decided, because he's eligible to come out because his third year, they would draft him this year. Might not be a top round draft pick, but they would actually draft him based on, you know. And you really have to think about that situation. When people looked and said, well, you work, absolutely. I say, but here's the deal at Arkansas Baptist College. You know, when USA Today came in, Justin did a big story on Michael. One thing I told her, I said, now, what you got to understand is I work with Michael Dials every day. They just would not champ MVP of the BCS game.
Right.
I say, so that's why everybody has him under a microscope. But he's a human being, and we all make mistakes. Jesus has given Fitzhill grace. So grace is made not to come to you, but made to grow through you. So I have responsibility to pass it on through. But now I know when not to give grace. All right. But right now, when I see people trying to do the right things for the right reasons for the right people, hopefully they get the right results. Hopefully I can be that change agent in their lives. And that's what's important to me. And so but the fact that he wanted to play college football meant a lot to me because he didn't have to go that route to go to the NFL. So I'm glad you brought that out, Justin.
Have you? I'm sure you've been through this kind of thing before. I mean, with all the athletes you've been working with over the years as a coach, but a kid who is, you know, doing so well and then, you know, does kind of get on the wrong path.
Absolutely.
And then able to get back and achieve at a high level.
Yeah, and you see it every day. And I'm going to tell you the thing that's so interesting. I was talking to an NFL executive. And he made this point to me and really, really stuck out in my mind. I said, you know, that's profound what you said. He said, why is it that in the United States of America, every day in corporate world, people make bad decisions, they go bankrupt, they're unfaithful to their wives, they do all the corruptness, but we give them grace in corporate America. We send them to counseling, rehabilitate them and bring them back and put them in charge of companies. But in NFL, we don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Or the NBA, we don't want to do that. And I said, man, that's pretty powerful. And so he said, so that's why if I can see a genuine change of heart, you know, by people want to change themselves, he said, then I have to work with them. And I said, well, I'm just the same way. And so take Michael for an example. Here's a guy 7 months removed from high school, the MVP of the BCS National Championship game over the number one draft choice in America, Cam Newton, you know, his head was probably pretty big.
I imagine so.
Just a little.
Just, you know, and so, you know, unfortunately, he maybe didn't have the grounding that he need around him at that support system, but that happens so many times. And that's the things we're trying to address at Arkansas Baptist College, because we've become a fatherless society, and oftentimes that figure is so important into grounding individuals. And so, you know, that's what we have to work to replace, and that's a critical problem in society today.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. I mean, we love to build our heroes up, and then we love to see them, you know, fall in some cases. That's just the way it is around here. I was thinking about this morning. I saw Tyrann Mathieu, the honey badger, as he's commonly known, at the combine. And I'm thinking, all I could think was, and here's an LSU guy that we root against, you know, Arkansas fans. But I'm thinking, man, I'd love to see this kid make it. I would love to see him, because that, you know what, we're in the story business.
Yeah,
and that's a great story to see him fall off.
Yeah.
And to get back and to achieve at a high level again. I would love to see him achieve at a high level and get back where he needs to be.
And it's unfortunate that you have to rebound that way, other than having those mentors and those guide figures that we should have. And I bet if you go back and look at, you know, at the situation that led to those bad choices, you know, I don't know Honey Badger personally, but hopefully he will be able to get his life right. But, you know, there's a reason that we make bad choices. And I often tell young men, hurting people hurt people. So there's a reason that you're doing things that you're doing, because your heart is grieving, your heart is hurting. And that's why it's so important. You know, in order to liberate, you must first educate. And, you know, and that's a big part of transformation of the human mind.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Fitzhill joining us in the studio today. Let's talk about Crackback. Let's transition into the book.
Sure.
And again, boy, it's been a busy couple of years for you. When did you start on it, and what was your goal in writing the book?
Actually, when I was did my dissertation, and I started actually collecting research in 1988 as a graduate assistant football coach at Northwestern State, Louisiana, and I just noticed, you know, coming out of Arkadelphia, Arkansas was always so good to me. I never saw restricting barriers. I went to the military. You know, I went to Desert Storm, Desert Shield, got promoted, all it did, you know, everything. But when I looked around And I looked at the coaching profession, and something that's been brought up in the NFL today. You know, there were no African-American head football coaches hired in the NFL, no general managers. I mean, you know, we're still dealing with the issues of race. And so what I tried to do, rather than, you know, jump on a platform and start talking down to people, after I did the 21 years of research, Mark Purdy, award-winning columnist for the Mercury News, who's a white Catholic guy who covered me. Mm-hmm. We went to lunch a couple of times, and we got together, even though Mark had said some negative things. Mark was, I thought he was fair and truthful. And that's all I asked for. So when Mark and I got together, I asked Mark to what he could. He told me he wanted to write a book about Negro Baseball League, and that was really shocking. I said, well, would you consider helping me write my book, because I need your perspective? I said, because I needed your perspective and my perspective to make this a special book. And boy, he thought about it for a couple of weeks and said, man, that's something I want to do. It took us 5 years to do it because it was very, very intensive and delicate situation. Mm-hmm. And Mark and I would go back. He called himself a militant moderate, but he's a white male Catholic. And I said, I'm an independent truth guy.
Yeah.
I said, you know, and so as I said, if you don't want to know the truth, don't read Crackback, because it's the truth. And so my whole deal is, why are you ever afraid to tell the truth? Because the truth will set you free, mm-hmm. but will also get you shut out.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I learned that. But I'm liberated by, you know, by the experience. And so Crackback was something that I researched. Tyrone Willingham wrote the piece. Doug Williams wrote the foreword. Tyrone Willingham read the book, thought it was well written. He referenced it on many occasions. And it's just got back from the Bay Area last week doing a book signing, doing Black History Month.
Yeah. So it's been received well?
Yeah. And, you know, some people have it's been well, because they said, man, this need to be told. It's dealing with the issues of today. And yeah. We talk about the lack of opportunities, particularly head football coaches. And I'm able to pretty much tell people when a minority will be hired and when one will not, based on my research.
Yeah.
So I can look at it and say, probably not, just based on the stories. I mean, many people never realize, Justin, that in SEC, there's never been an African-American head football and basketball coach at the same institution.
Because I didn't realize that.
Now, and that's what Crackback brings up to the attention.
Yeah.
And Doug Williams helped me realize that during the writing the book, because he said, had not Tubby Smith been the head basketball coach at Kentucky, he would have got the job at Kentucky.
Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. And then one of them, and when you read the book, one of the interviews said that one of the boosters at one of the store at University of Louisiana Lafayette, when Jerry Baldwin was fired, said one of the boosters, you know, they had a black basketball coach. He mm-hmm. said, well, why do we have to have all the black coaches? I mean, so, you know, there's,
yeah.
And so Crackback really just brings all of those things out, you know, that nobody really wants to talk about.
Yeah.
But it does so in a very educated way, because the data speaks to the issue.
Well, I love, sports is so great because it can be a microcosm for society. And
yeah.
so it's, you know, again, I think we all understand that there has been improvement in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of gains
Absolutely.
That need to be made, both in society and in coaching.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked many times, and really a lot off the air, not so much on the air, but everybody knows, I think most people who follow coaching closely, the story of Charlie Strong, a guy that waited a long time
yep.
and did things the right way,
Absolutely.
Even though he got kind of a raw deal in a few situations.
Oh, yeah.
I think we know that.
Yeah.
But it's great to see guys, you know, do well, especially the guys that have, you know, probably taken their lumps when they didn't deserve them.
Absolutely. And then, you know, Charlie's he's a great coach.
Yeah.
And so you just want the opportunities, you know, once you've earned them, to not let something keep you from access. That's it. And so it's a very detailed read. We look at officials, the experiences. I have a chapter in there about my experience, you know, at San Jose State and how Arkansas had you know, Coach Kynes, you know, how, you know, he kept me in the profession, the times I was going to leave. I
mm-hmm.
mean, you know, and the recruiting of student athletes that we brought to Arkansas. I mean, so it covers the whole gamut. And so it's been received but like I said, I wasn't writing it for approval.
I understand.
Where can you purchase it?
Amazon. You can go on
Amazon.
Go to crackback.us. www.crackback.us.
We, you know, our audience is obviously a Southern audience. I grew up in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I've spent time on the West Coast. Have you felt, I mean, have you sort of, I guess, seen a different perspective and in different areas that you've lived in? I mean, do you see a totally different feel in San Jose than you did
absolutely.
Here?
Oh, absolutely. Look, and Stanford is a perfect example. Stanford is the only major college football that's hired 3 African-American football coaches.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and so when you look, and they've all been successful,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they've all had opportunity and they've had to support, you know, to do that. And then we have a chapter in there called Basketball Faster Break. Well, it's not even an issue in basketball anymore. You know, and but because, and we talk about the pioneers, mm-hmm. Tubby Smith, Nolan Richin, Temple coach, Gailey, I can't call his name right now. But when you go back and look and see that by winning those national championships, the perception has changed. And so that's what I say in the book, is that when an African-American wins a national championship, that I think you'll see a sea of change in football, just like you saw in the NFL when Lubby and the guy from Indianapolis, when he won the national, the NFL, the head coach.
Yeah.
Do you think that because those guys were hired at Stanford and stuff like that, is it because it's outside the southern United States? Like, do you think that there's a big difference, obviously, being in the southern United States?
Well, the West Coast is different anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you.
Well, I'm from Canada, and I know that where I came from, that's not really a big issue.
Right.
We don't really see it the way that maybe certain people see it.
Unfortunately, here's the deal, and I say this in the book, you know, even a colorblind person sees black and white. Race matters. You know, and so, but to the extent that there's no greater place to live, I've traveled all over the country. There's no greater place to live. So we're not knocking down the greatest country in the world. Mm-hmm. What we're doing, you know, when my dissertation examining employment barriers, restricting access to opportunities. So that's what the book talks about. We don't degrade the United States or the areas because I don't want to live anywhere else. But what we're doing, we're looking at those corporate barriers that oftentimes restrict opportunities. And you have less of those in places where Stanford, you know, California, West Coast type that you have,
North
or East. Up north.
North,
you know, that you have because, you know, and that's just a culture. And so it's, you know, you can't point a finger at anybody or say it's kind of like the ingrained culture that we're dealing with.
Can you hang with us for a few minutes?
Absolutely.
We've got to take a quick time out. We'll come back and talk more with Dr. Fitzhill. Great having him in. I want to talk to you about a lot of different things. And